So starting on Friday, which was the very auspicious and divine appearance day of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, known as Sri Ramachandra, we've been discussing his pastimes along with many of the messages that come along with those pastimes. And so we've been continuing that, and today is the last, we're going to do it again tomorrow night, actually. We'll again speak on Ram's pastimes. So today I'll speak on one section of Ram's pastimes. For those of you who are not familiar, a little background, the Lord appeared. It's explained in the scriptures that the Lord appears wherever there's a decline in religious principles and a rise of irreligion. He comes. So this happens throughout the history of mankind. At different times, the Lord appears on earth to reestablish dharma, truth, religion, and to remove irreligion. And so most recent, well, of course, was Lord Chaitanya's appearance at 530 years ago. And before that was Krishna's appearance about 5,100 years ago. But there have been many incarnations of the Lord, and one of the most foremost and revered incarnations of the Lord is Lord Ramachandra. And he appeared approximately 2 million years ago in a time which was known as the Treta Yuga, one of the ages of mankind, which was more spiritually adept, more spiritually stronger than the age we live in now. So, but the history of the world is the history of conflict between religion and irreligion, between good and between bad, between evil and between righteousness. And we find that there's always a struggle on this planet and throughout the universe for the hearts and minds of men. There's a class of people called demons. There's a class of people called devas or devotees. And both have their mission. One is to bring people towards God, and the other one is to bring people towards sinful activities and to control them. It's not surprising it's happening even today, because that's just the way this world is. There's always these two classes of people. Those who are for God and those who are against God. And the majority of the people are pretty much in the middle, who are somewhat neutral and can be swayed either way by these two powerful groups. So Lord Ramachandra came when there was righteousness, but a lot of, what we say, unrighteousness, a lot of sinful activity. And it was one very powerful demon, king, his name was Ravana. Now, of course, for those of you who are not aware of the pastime of the Lord appeared as a human, and he was in a position of a king, actually. Having been cursed to go to the forest along with his dear wife Sita Devi, he spent 14 years in the forest. And the last year, his wife Sita, who is his eternal consort, the goddess of fortune, was abducted by this very powerful demon and taken away to his kingdom, which is known as Lanka, modern day Ceylon, they call it, somewhere in that area, off the coast, the southern coast of India. And so there's a great adventure to rebring Sita back towards Ram. Ram doesn't know what happened to Sita. Sita's been abducted without his presence. And now he's trying to find her. He doesn't really know. So now he's looking for assistance. And he comes across a group of demigods who are in monkey form. When the Lord came, there was a whole group of demigods who came in the form of monkeys to assist the Lord in his pastimes. And It's a race is called the Vanaras, V-A-N-A-R-A-S, Vanaras, who are monkey soldiers who are actually very saintly by nature, but in monkey bodies. They have human intelligence, or superhuman intelligence, but monkey bodies like that. So they assisted, they were there to assist the Lord in bringing back Sita and destroying this demon called Ravana. So now Sita has been abducted and Ram is looking for where she is. He comes across the monkey army, and one of the monkeys is Hanuman. Now, each of the monkeys is an incarnation of a particular powerful demigod. Indra, who's the king of Heaven, he has incarnated, or he has produced a son who is incarnated as known as Bali. Surya, incarnated as Sugriva. And Hanuman, who is the son of the wind god Vayu, incarnated. So Hanuman was one of the most powerful monkey soldiers in Ram's entourage. Now Hanuman is asked, along with the rest of the monkeys, to try to find Sita. So he has a big mission. Nobody knows where Sita is. There's some clue. Finally, after some searching everywhere, it's understood that Sita is in the southern direction. The monkeys go in the north, the south, the east, and the south, and the west. Now, Hanuman, he has these superhuman powers. He was blessed when he was a young monkey to have great powers. He had his intelligence. He can fly through the air. He can do, we think, is this some kind of mythology? Actually, no. You can fly also. Human beings can fly. If you know the science, you can fly or get off the ground and fly. There's a way. You can actually train yourself. It takes a while to learn it. And you'll save a lot of money on airline tickets too. And you won't have to worry about getting the best seat because you were the only one up in the air. So the propensity to fly is within you. You just have to know how to bring it out. And there's yogis who do that. They can fly from one place to another and disappear in one area and come up in another area thousands of miles away within seconds. We think this is some kind of magic. But it's just defying material energy and going deeper into your own, what we say, material powers. We use about one-tenth of the material powers that we have. If we were actually to tap into all our material powers, you know, we could do amazing things. But because in this age, people are not interested in doing anything but enjoying their senses. Nobody has any abilities, unfortunately. People are so attached to sense gratification, therefore they've covered up all their abilities, at least innate abilities. So Hanuman, he had that ability to fly. Now, the monkey soldiers, under the care of one powerful bear, whose name was Jambavan, have concluded that Sita has been taken across the ocean, which was 800 miles, to a place called Lanka by this powerful demonic king named Ravana. Now to get her back, she's captured. So the monkeys are standing on the shore of the ocean and thinking how to get across 800 miles. It's a lot of miles. So each of the monkeys has power. So each of the monkeys is trying to estimate, well, can I do it? One monkey says, well, I can jump 50 yojanas. A yojana is 8 miles. One monkey says, I can jump 10 yojanas. Another monkey says, I can jump 20 yojanas. So they all have power, but nobody can make it all the way across. And if you don't make it across, you actually fall into the ocean. So Jambaban, who he's also powerful, he said, I can make it across, but I can't make it back. But Hanuman, you have been blessed with the power. You can do it. Because Hanuman used to forget about his powers. And only when someone reminded him of his powers that he actually, oh, yes, that's right. So he's asked to cross the ocean. Now, he has this big job. It's an obstacle. In spiritual life, there are obstacles. Every part of life has an obstacle, right? We find there's obstacles on all levels, right? We meet obstacles every day. Some of them are very small, and we just pass through it. Some of them are a little larger. Sometimes they become very discouraging and cause us to think and act in a different way. And some of them are like gigantic mountains which we can't cross, and we start to retreat from these obstacles. But obstacles actually can increase one's qualities and abilities when taken on with the right understanding, with spiritual guidance. And so Hanuman has to cross the ocean. He has to find Sita. He has to go to a kingdom that is full of powerful enemies who are in millions of numbers, and he has to do it without getting killed. A major obstacle. So he flies, he jumps. When he jumped, what happened? All the trees and the rocks in the area were pulled up by the suction of his power, that they all started to fly in the air. He had such power. The wind, just if you think about it, the wind is very powerful. The most powerful force in creation is the wind, material force. The wind can blow down cities. There are sometimes we hear, and I don't know about in your country, but in America, there's constantly tornadoes and hurricanes and in other places in the world. And the winds go up to 125, 150 miles an hour. When they get up to 150 miles an hour, you know, they destroy buildings. Prabhupada was talking about one tornado that came into one place in America, and big, huge buses were flying in the air. I mean, they can pick up a bus and just throw it like a piece of, like a little kid picks up a toy and just flings it like that. And that's 150 miles an hour. The wind can go up to 300 miles an hour. If it ever does, whatever's in his way is destroyed. Even the biggest city in the world will become nothing in the face of the wind. Wind's very powerful. And so Hanuman's the son of the wind god. And he has very great powers. So he jumps and he's flying across the ocean. Now, while he gets a little ways across, one mountain named Mainda comes out of the ocean. It's a gold mountain. And on the top is a beautiful deity. And the deity says to Hanuman, hey, Hanuman, you know, you got a big mission. You need some refreshments. My mountain is full of roots and fruits, and you're a monkey. You like these things. So take some rest, relax, take a break, you know, tell the boss you're on vacation. Call in sick or something. Something like that. So Hanuman offers his respects to the mountain, and he just thanks the mountain and continues. So what is the message here? When we're on a mission to do something, and it's important, Hare Krishna. We should not get distracted. When we're on a mission, and sometimes there is distractions, and these distractions comes in two ways, difficulties and niceties. So this mountain was offering Hanuman some niceties. Relax, take it easy, enjoy for a while. But Hanuman's thinking, this is simply a distraction. So he thanks the offerer, the mountain, and goes on. So what is the message here? Because the Ramayana is full of messages. In our endeavor for Krishna consciousness, we will get sidetracked. We can get sidetracked by temptations. And the temptations will come in different ways. But one who sees the mission more important will not be deviated by these temptations. And that's important, because if you want to achieve something and you focus on how to achieve it, it happens a lot quicker than when you think, well, I'll achieve it, but if something else comes up, I may just, you know, not. You never get anything done. You lose your, what we say, determination. Or your determination never really develops. Hanuman was determined on his mission. He only had one thing in mind. I've got to go and find Sita. So when he was tempted by some, what we say, some relaxation, he thanked the offer and went on. Now, he's going across, and all of a sudden, he's getting to a certain point, and then all of a sudden, he can't move anymore. He's wondering what's happening, and he realizes somebody's grabbing his shadow, and he can't move because this person is holding onto his shadow, and it's a gigantic Rakshasi. And she says to him, "Oh, Hanuman, I have been blessed with the benediction from Lord Brahma that anyone who comes this way will have to enter into my mouth." So Hanuman's thinking what to do here. Another distraction. So she opens her mouth to swallow Hanuman, and Hanuman doubles his size. He had that power to expand his size. She goes to 20 miles, he goes to 30, she goes to 40, he goes to 50. Finally, she goes to 90 miles wide. Hanuman shrinks down to a little tiny monkey. He goes in her mouth, walks out, and says, "Mataji, I have fulfilled the program of Brahma." She said, "Monkey, you are very intelligent. I give you my blessings. Go on." So what does this? Temptations come, striving per bhakti, and people will, you know, somehow or other get in the way. But he was respectful, fulfilled her desire, and went on. This was named, that lady was named Simika. Now there's another one who was a gigantic serpent in the form of a Rakshasi. And she appears out of the ocean. It says, "Ah, monkey, ah, it's time for lunch. La monkey prasad." So she's vicious. She's not like the previous one. She wants to eat Hanuman for prasad. So she goes to swallow Hanuman. He opens, or he expands himself to twice the size. She expands again. He expands. She expands. Same thing is happening. And this time, when she gets very big, he shrinks down and goes into her mouth, down her throat, and rips her heart out. Ah, she's screaming, and she falls into the ocean. Boom! Finished. Jai Hanuman. You know, we try to be nice to ladies, but sometimes it gets impossible. So what to do? Anyway, she was an envious witch. So she was jealous. She was very envious. So sometimes we find that the mind is like that. The mind will somehow or other find fault with other people or feel unhappy because of other person's success. Someone is successful. Why am I not successful? Someone's get attention. I should get the attention. Or something about that person I just don't like. This is called envy. For no reason. It's just the nature of this world that people are in competition with each other to enjoy and to exploit material resources. And so other people see each other rather than as friends and well-wishers, we see them as competitors, especially in business. If you're a businessman, you see other businessmen who have the same occupation as your competitor. And sometimes you will even try to destroy your competitor in order for you to get more like that. Or envy. Or if someone is more beautiful, you feel, someone is more learned. Wow, he's just got lucky. If someone has a certain position, why don't I get that position? In other words, it's all about feeling unhappy about your own situation and looking towards others as the cause of your unhappiness. Yeah. So how do you get over that? I could give you a very simple answer, but I may not be enough to satisfy the question. Just be happy by who you are, that's all. God has made each person unique and individual, and everyone has a loving relationship with God. God loves everyone equally. No one is his favorite. He doesn't, what we say, special favors. He reciprocates according to how we reciprocate, but God loves everyone equally. So if you always feel that whoever I am, whatever I have, whatever I can do, I'm happy. In other words, be satisfied. Of course, we always try to better ourselves. That's life also. But we should never be dissatisfied because of, not coming up to a certain, expectations. This happens a lot with young people, especially when they're growing up in teenage years. Their parents put so much pressure on them to be good in school. And in amongst their friends, they want to be the best. And if they're not the best, they feel a little less. So, teenagers really struggle with this idea of what we say, individual identity. But we have to teach that actually each person is very unique and has something to offer to others and to God. Be happy, whatever Krishna gives you. And if he doesn't give you anything, then you can be happy by not having anything. Because the soul by nature doesn't need anything. It is by nature beautiful in and of itself. So therefore, a devotee is always satisfied. One person was telling me, it was my god sister in London. She said her husband always tells her, just be yourself because every other position is already taken. You can't be anybody else because it's all filled. You can only be yourself. Right? So we may glorify or idolize others in order to somehow or other learn from them and to appreciate them and also to serve them, but we can only be ourselves. And when we try to be ourselves in relationship to God and in service, we find we're happy, we're satisfied. But the world is not like that. Everyone wants more and is never satisfied by what they get. So therefore, everyone struggles through the entire life trying to get more and be something else. And finally, when they get old and can't do anything else, they just, sit around and play cards. So this is life, But a devotee, Krishna has made me who I am. I'm his part and parcel. I'm happy by whatever he gives me. And if he takes away whatever he gives me, that's his right also. So satisfaction keeps one peaceful. Dissatisfaction means, Ravana. Ravana is the epitome of dissatisfaction. He had many wives. He had a golden kingdom. He had many followers. He was good looking. He had knowledge. He had physical ability. He had everything material. But he's not happy. Because these don't touch the heart. They just touch the mind. They can't give satisfaction to the heart. And when the heart's not satisfied, you know, the mind is always going from one place to another, trying to find satisfaction. So this enviousness, or jealousy, we might say, is a very, how we say, detrimental thing to the living entity. So one should be happy, or satisfied, whatever Krishna gives you. That's all. You can strive for more, but be satisfied even in the striving, whatever he gives or whatever he doesn't give. Because he's providing everything. Krishna says, I am the source of everything. Whatever you have is coming from me, ultimately. Whatever you are is coming by my grace. It's all Krishna's mercy, coming different ways, like that. So a devotee can be satisfied like that. Everybody satisfied? After prasadam, you actually, it's even better. There's more satisfaction. But see, there's always prasadam, so there's no problem. So that's, Krishna wants his devotees to be satisfied. So we can be happy. Finally, okay, after destroying this, her name was Surasa, envious, Hanuman is flying across. He arrives in Lanka. He makes the journey across the ocean. It's dark. It's late. Practically the entire city is asleep. But there, of course, there's many guards around the city. So Hanuman, he's sneaking around. He decides to disguise himself as a cat. So he changes his form as a cat just to see what's going on. While he's walking around, he comes across another lady, Rakshasi, and she says, hey, who are you? Where are you going? This is Ravana's kingdom. You can't come here. So, Hanuman's a little bit disturbed, so he punches her. Boom. We're not supposed to punch ladies, but anyway. Especially as a brahmachari, you shouldn't do that. Hanuman's a brahmachari. Anyway, she falls back to the ground, and then finally she gets up, and she says, oh, actually, Lord Brahma said that someday someone will come and defeat me, and that will be the beginning of the end of the city of Lanka. So there was some prophecy that when she was defeated, this would indicate the demise of Lanka. She said, monkey, I give you my blessings. He changed back into a monkey when he punched her. And he went on. Now he has to find Sita. It's really hard. It's late. He doesn't know what Sita looks like. Ram has given him a ring. So when he meets Sita, she will know that he's his messenger. So he has the ring. And Ram has described Sita in some ways. And so he only has what is in his mind. So he's going everywhere. He's looking around. It's dark. He comes across one palace, which is beautiful. He looks inside and he sees Ravana laying there on the bed, intoxicated, completely asleep with all these ladies around him. And he's thinking, is one of them Sita? But then he was thinking, it can be. Sita would never acquiesce to Ravana. So it's not an easy mission for a brahmachari to find a mataji. We don't recommend that service. Those of you who are brahmacharis. But he's not thinking, because Hanuman's a brahmachari, no question. And he's not thinking in that. He's thinking, I have this mission. So he's searching everywhere, and he can't find Sita. Finally, he hears that there's a special garden away from the city, but still within the range of the city. It's called the Ashoka Gardens. And there's some rumor that Sita will be there. So he picks up on the rumor and he goes. And he sees, as he gets there, it's late at night, he sees this very bedraggled lady with rags on. She looks very beautiful, but at the same time, she looks quite miserable. She's being harassed by these Rakshasa ladies. Because Ravana captured Sita, and Ravana wanted to enjoy with Sita. That was his program. And he told Sita, you know, I'll give you my whole kingdom, just be my main queen. She didn't want to have anything to do with him. But Ravana was cursed. One time before, he came across this beautiful lady, and he forcibly raped her. And then she went to her husband, who was a demigod, his name was Nala Kuvera, and she told what happened. And Nala Kuvera pronounced a curse on Ravana, that if he any way forced himself on a lady, he would die immediately. So Ravana wasn't sure whether that curse was going to work or not. So he didn't want to take any chances. So he was harassing Sita to break her will. But she wouldn't break. So he said, after 1 year, if you do not come to me, then I will have my cooks chop you up in pieces and I'll eat you for breakfast. Because Rakshasas are man-eaters. Very nice. Anyway, she wasn't going to even look at Ravana. I want to speak about listening to his advances. So then after some time, the harassment stops and Hanuman's coming. And he's looking. Is that Sita? And he's thinking. So he decides to start singing sweetly just to see how this lady would respond. So he starts singing the glories of Ram. And he's in the tree, in a little ways away. She hears this beautiful singing. She's thinking, what is this? Someone singing the glories of my husband, Sri Ram? And then, after some time, she notices there's a personality. And then she looks, and she sees this monkey. And then she's thinking, uh-oh, might be Ravana in disguise. So she's not sure what to do. So he comes closer. She says, who are you? He says, I'm a messenger from Ram. I've been looking for Sita. Are you Sita? Yes. But are you sure? I think you're Ravana in disguise. No, actually I'm not. How can I trust you? Ravana is always trying to cheat me in different ways and disguising himself in different ways because Rakshasas had that power. They can change their forms at will. They're a race above the humans. They have mystic powers. Even now, if you go to planets outside of the range of the Earth, there are groups called Charanas, Siddhas, Apsaras. They can fly to the air and they can change their form like that. This form is material. It's just made out of matter. And if you know the science, you can change your form into different forms. Yeah. People do that now. Sometimes a lady wants to become a man. Or a man wants to become a lady. I knew a few that joined the Hare Krishna movement. There was one who was going to become... She wasn't my disciple, but she was a disciple of one dear friend of mine. And former Vietnam veteran war soldier who later now became a lady, Haribo. So what do you do with that? Hare Krishna. Welcome to... That's the problem. We didn't know what to do. She was good at construction. She was leading the ladies' construction team. She was the only one in the team. Really. I was personally involved with that one. So finally I told this to one devotee that she's no longer aspiring. I don't know whether I said she or he. No longer aspiring for you. And he said, thank you. I don't know what kind of karma I would get from that one. Because the guru takes on the karma of the disciple. So, Anyway, people want to be something different than what they are. But Ravana used it for a deceptive way. And therefore, Sita was not sure. And finally, then Hanuman starts speaking special things that only Ram and Sita knew between them. And then she was convinced. And then Hanuman said, "Now I found you. Ram is waiting." She said, "Where's Ram? Why doesn't he come? He doesn't know where you are. He has sent messengers all over to find you. And I have found you. I'll take you back to Ram. Just jump on my back. We can fly across the ocean." She says, "Hanuman, I can't do that. I will never touch another man. This is my vow." So he's thinking, what to do? She won't ride on my back. How am I going to get her out of here? So he's thinking, well, anyway, I'll have to go back and tell Ram where she is, and then Ram will come. So in the meantime, he decides, well, since I'm a monkey and there's some, you know, might as well make my visit a little beneficial. So he starts uprooting some of the trees in the garden and starts smashing the whole garden to pieces. And he's breaking this beautiful garden. And then he starts taking these trees and starts smashing buildings with it. And then pretty soon that wakes up some of the Rakshasa. Ravana wakes up. He gets the message. There's this monkey. He's destroying everything. So Ravana sends out some of his soldiers, and they all don't return because Hanuman just smashes them. Finally, he sends out more soldiers and some of the leading soldiers. And Hanuman, he's also very powerful. So he's destroying all these soldiers in the fight. Finally, it came back to the Ravana that this monkey is really powerful. So he sends out his son, whose name was Indrajit. Indrajit is practically unconquerable. He's such a powerful warrior, the personal son of Ravana. And so he sees Hanuman. There's a fight between him and Hanuman. But Indrajit has a special arrow. It's called Vasuki weapon. Vasuki weapon, which is a snake in the form of an arrow. So he shoots the arrow, and when it comes to the person, it turns into a snake and coils around him and ties them up, and they can't move. So that happened, and they caught Hanuman. So now he takes Hanuman and he drags him to Ravana's. And there he's there, and Ravana's berating him. And then Hanuman's saying, "Well, actually, you know, I'm a messenger. I've come on the business of Ram. Let Sita go." Ravana doesn't want to hear anything like that. He says, "Kill this messenger." Ravana's brother, Vibhishan, who was very saintly, although he was a Rakshasa, he had saintly quality. He says, "You can't do that, my dear brother. A messenger is not allowed to be killed. You can punish him, but not kill him." So Ravana says, "All right, the most precious thing of a monkey is his tail. Set it on fire." So they, Mahanuman's tied up, and they set his tail on fire. Now, the word got back to Sita that Hanuman got captured and his tail is on fire. So she starts praying to the demigods, to Agni, the goddess of fire, to make his tail feel cool. So his tail's on fire, but he's not feeling the heat of the fire by the prayers of Mother Sita. So finally, Hanuman jumps up to the air. He breaks out of his ropes, and his tail is on fire, and he decides to have some more fun. So he runs from building to building and touches his tail on the building, and he's setting the entire city, not the entire city, but a good part of the city on fire. And the Rakshasas are running out of the buildings, and everybody is waking up. What is this monkey doing? And everybody's scrambling. And finally, Hanuman runs to the edge of the city, jumps on the boundary wall, and says, "This is nothing. When Ram comes, he will give you what you really deserve." And then he jumps and flies back across the ocean. How many obstacles did Hanuman have? So many. Even his life was in danger. But he didn't consider it. His mission was to serve the Lord. So this is a wonderful quality, that the service becomes our focus. I think we mentioned that in the life of Srila Prabhupada, when Prabhupada's mission was to come across the ocean and find some monkeys and create an army of monkeys to attack Lanka. Prabhupada said that, I am like Ram, I gathered a few monkeys, you, referring to us, his disciples, and I'm trying to bring Sita back from Ravana. Sita represents God and fortune. In other words, I'm trying to bring back the fortune stolen by the materialists and give it back to Krishna, like that. And so Prabhupada had a big mission, and he had so many obstacles, obstacles that would have deterred millions of people. But he was so determined to spread Krishna consciousness, thinking this is the will of the Lord, this is the instructions of my spiritual master, this is the purpose of my life. So making that commitment, this is important to understand. We should not minimize this point, that in our spiritual life, we should try for the ultimate goal. What is that ultimate goal? To find our relationship with God. And to, in that relationship with God, find the happiness of that relationship. That's perfection. And that comes by serving the Lord and following the instructions of the Lord's representatives, who teach us how to worship the Lord and how to bring ourselves in contact with God again, which is the success of life. So they say, there's a saying, if you don't have something to die for, you don't have anything to live for. If you don't have something to die for, you don't have anything to live for. Because life has a purpose. And what is that purpose? To find the ultimate happiness. Or find real happiness. And that can only be found in our relationship with the Lord. So making that our mission in life, how to connect with God in loving service and achieve perfection, then you have something to live for and you have something to die for. Because you have to die anyway. So why die a useless death? A useless death means to live a life just to enjoy your senses. To have a family, to have the kids grow up, to go to school, and get old and die in front of the television, right? What a useless, it's a waste. It's a sad, sad life. Life is precious. Why? Because life is Krishna, and we are part of that life of Krishna. Jai, Shri Shri Panchatattva Ki Jai. So, therefore, one should see, what do I have to do in order to become fully God conscious? Make that your goal in life. Even if you fail, even if you don't make it, you succeeded. Why? Because eventually you'll get another chance in your next life to finish whatever is left. But if you never make that determination for that goal, then life will just take you in different directions according to whatever way life wants to move you. And then ultimately, it's a waste. Most people's lives are a waste. They just satisfy your senses and ultimately just die. Satisfaction of the senses is the business of the animals. Human life is meant for atato brahma jigyasa, to inquire into the absolute truth and to find three things, to find God, to find myself, and to find that love in my relationship to God and everything in it. And it's available through the mercy of the great souls, especially Srila Prabhupada. So when we make the goal, the ultimate goal in life, our goal, we actually live life. Life becomes exciting. Like that. And then, by making that goal, you also bring towards you the ability to achieve the goal. Without making it the goal, you can't really bring in the facility to achieve the goal because you haven't made that your goal. So a devotee knows, or every person knows, what is the purpose of life? To simply eat, sleep, have some sex life, and die. It's more like a bad dream. How many times are you going to eat? You're going to eat every day at least 2 to 3 times a day. You did it one, you eat and you think, oh, I got to eat again. Okay. And you think each time is nice. All right, Ari. But you've done it so many times, right? So what's so new about eating? And sleeping, yeah. Sleep on a bed, sleep on a floor, sleep on a, you know, whatever. It's eating, sleeping, mating, sex life is all the same. There's that story. Would you like to hear something about sex life? Okay. One of my favorite subjects. There was this, he was a leper. He had the leprosy disease. And, but he had a wonderful, chaste wife. He was a leper. But in his town, there was a prostitute. And she was a highly qualified, very expensive prostitute. And so, this leper, although he had a nice wife, he was after the prostitute. But he was poor. He couldn't afford it. But he always wanted. He was never he was always dissatisfied. I have to go to this prostitute. So his wife, being a dutiful person, decided to help her husband fulfill his desire. So she went to the prostitute and started doing service for the prostitute. And the prostitute said, well, why are you doing this? Well, actually, I want to serve you and I want to do things for you because my husband, he wants to come to you, but he doesn't have the money. So this prostitute, she was kind of smart. She was thinking, okay. So she does all this service, and then she tells her husband, you can go. So he comes to see the prostitute. And so she decides to teach him a lesson. So she prepares food for him, and she makes a nice feast, and she puts the feast into 3 different receptacles. She puts it on a leaf plate, she puts it on a gold plate, and she puts it on a regular wooden plate. So it's leaf, a little better wooden, and then a gold plate. And she serves him the same feast in 3 different plates. So he's looking at it, and he's thinking, what is this? Why is she giving me the same food in 3 different dishes? So he's just got to ask the question. You know, Mataji, why? And she says, you have a beautiful wife. You have a very qualified wife. Go home to your wife. It's all the same. Whether you put it in a leaf plate, a wooden plate, or a gold plate, it's all the same. He got the message. Haribo. Did you get the purport? No, you didn't get, did you get it? Okay. Thank you very much. I'm not sure. There was no reactions. So that's life. It's the same thing. And it looks differently, but it actually is all the same. So therefore, if one lives a life simply to enjoy these sensual pleasures, which are fleeting and doesn't satisfy the heart, one wastes their life. Therefore, one should strive for devotion to the Lord and make that their goal in life. And whatever else you have to do to live life will come naturally by the arrangements of nature. Like that. So Hanuman's teaching us to keep our mind focused on the goal, despite the obstacles, difficulties, or maybe even the reverses that come in life. Any questions? Huh? Hot topic? Off the topic. No, we're just taking this topic. You can ask me off topic at an off time. Only this topic. Okay? Questions have to be beneficial for everybody and not just for you. So you should ask something in relationship to what we're talking about. Anyone? Okay, so the next is a drama. Okay, thank you very much. Sri Hanuman Ki, Sri Ramchandra Ki, Sri Gornita Ki, Panchatattva Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bhavam.